Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, we've got a treat for tonight, so Brother Homer Betancourt is going to come and share for a little bit with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Homer, praise God.
Man can't preach without a Bible, can he? Here we go. There it is. Hallelujah. You throw me a little bit, Robert, Harry, just for about until I get into some doctrine, just real quick. The real soft one. Just, you know what? One of the main reasons I like a little medley before I get started, because the word of God, it cuts. And I want it, when you hear it, I want it to be smooth to you. And this brings relaxation to you. It's really not even for my purpose, but for yours. You can receive the word of God. Receive it with, just inhale and just receive it before we get into some doctrine. I'm going to say something, but wait about 2 minutes before you amen what I'm going to say. I might be trying to set you up. I've noticed, and I don't hear many preachers, and really there's a good reason why I don't. The best thing I've ever been taught, was by Pastor Dave Roberson. I don't preach anything that I don't go through at least 50 to 100 times. If I'm going to preach the book of James, you take it to the bank that I've gone through it over and over and over again. You would be surprised. You might think you know the Bible, but if you don't go through a book repeatedly, I guarantee you're going to be off in your context. And even a preacher that sounds good, that can leave you amening. Just because a preacher sounds good does not mean the Bible is preached in context. You got to know that. If you don't know the Bible that well, and the preacher sounds good and is exciting, you're going to think he's spot on. That's why you got to learn to read the Bible like that. It's you can't go wrong with it. I don't preach anything to you. James 3 says, be not many teachers, for we shall receive the greater condemnation. If I'm going to preach the Bible to you, I better get it right. Because I'm going to be held liable one day for what I taught you. I will be held liable for what I taught you. So you might say, Homer, you might think you know it all. No, I don't know it all. But I know how to find all. I pray in the Spirit, and I read the same book over and over again. Till when? Till I get it. Till I understand it. So I just don't listen to anybody. You'd be surprised some of the stuff that's out there. You would be surprised. I'm very careful of who I hear. Extremely careful. The word of God, the body of Christ lacks so much word. We lack word. We can remember it. We can quote it. But we're to be it. Not to remember it. We're to be it. Wisdom and understanding is ours. This is where people get understanding wrong. They say you got to have wisdom, but you got to understand it. That's not what it means. Wisdom and understanding is this. You have wisdom when you understand it. When you understand it is when you do it. So you have wisdom when you do the word of God. That's understanding. Yes. People say, well, you got to have wisdom. You got to understand it. No. Understanding is when you do wisdom. That's understanding. You don't have to, oh, what's that mean? That's not, no. when you grasp it and you do it, that's understanding. Get it right, man. The body of Christ lacks so much word. Proof, we got 3,000 different denominations. Why? Because everybody thinks different. But there ain't but one Bible and there ain't but one Holy Ghost, but there's 3,000 different denominations. Some say once saved, always saved. Some say no. Some say tongues. Some say no tongues. What do you say? What the Bible says? The body of Christ lacks so much word. We're void of word. I will die preaching what Pastor Dave taught us. I don't preach nothing to you that I haven't gone through at least 100 times, over and over and over. And then I break out the Greek. After I've gone through it for months, then I will break out the Greek. So I boast in this, not in me. My IQ was very below normal growing up. But I pray in the Spirit so much. And I hear the Bible so much that it just stays to, it's an adhesive inside of me. It just sticks to me. Not because of this, but because of the Holy Ghost in me. And I'm going to share my heart with you tonight based on the book of Thessalonians. And this book reminds me so much of Pastor Bronk. So much. The hardest time of my life, years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life, a rough time. I thought nothing that we were ever taught worked. I had 4 strokes. Went to Pastor Bronk's house. I said, "Big dog, I can't go on anymore, man. I don't know what to do anymore. I don't know what to do. I'm having a hard time." He was quiet, silent. He looked at me after me complaining about 5-10 minutes. I can't go on anymore, Pastor Bronk. I'm perplexed. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. He said to me, "You got to fight through this, buddy." And that was his counsel. "You got to fight through it, buddy." Huh? No hug? No love offering? No Pastor Bronk famous cheeseburger? Nothing. "You got to fight through it, buddy." Leave the Thessalonians. Basically, that's the thrust of Thessalonians. That is the main thrust of the book of Thessalonians. The church was going through it. They were going through it. Paul sends Timothy to Thessalonica chapter 3 to see how they're doing. Timothy says, "By the way, I told you." In the voice of Pastor Bronk, Timothy said, "I told you you're going to have trials and tribulations. I told you you were going to have them." He said, "Be strong in them." Reminds me of somebody. You're going to go through a hard time. I warned you beforehand. You're going to go through them, Timothy tells the church. That's what he told. "I'm going to strengthen you. I tell you, you got to fight through it, buddy." That's the book of Thessalonians. They were going to, let me go on a tangent here on a 90. They were going through it because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They weren't going through it because of marriage problems. They weren't going through it because not enough brown culture, black culture, white culture. They were going through it because they were living for Jesus. They weren't going through it because of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. No, no, no. They were going through it because they believed the gospel. They weren't going through it because they wanted a bigger car, a bigger truck, another vacation. They were going through it because they were hanging on to the gospel of the kingdom. No DEI, no Hispanic rights, nothing. They were obeying the gospel. What do you think about DEI? I believe in DEI, diversity, equity. I believe in that, to the door of the kingdom. We're all invited to the door of the kingdom. But to get through the door, you must be born again. There is no DEI in the kingdom. There's an invitation to the door of the kingdom. But to get through the door, you must be born again. No diversity, equity, or inclusion in the kingdom of God, man. That is hogwash. Don't hire me because I'm Hispanic. Hire me because I can do the job. Don't hire me because I'm black. Hire me because I can do the job. No DEI in the kingdom of God. That's my tangent. They weren't going through that. They were going through it because they were hanging on to the gospel of the kingdom. Yes. No infidelity. No love of money. No bigger house. No bigger car. They were living the gospel. Timothy says, I told you these times were coming. I told you. I come to strengthen you. How? By telling you they were coming. Now get over it and walk in faith. Pastor Brock, I can't take it no more. Pastor Brock, I can't take it no more. You got to fight through it, buddy. But the Thessalonians has rocked my world, man. It left me with no excuse whatsoever. I'm embarrassed to say that you offend me. I'm embarrassed to say that I need a vacation. I'm embarrassed to hear excuses that I used to make for myself. It's embarrassing after you get a hold of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the last two verses. I promise you're going to love this. This is all about people living the gospel. One thing I will say about this church, about what we teach, you better have a gut, man. If you're going to come to this church, you better have a gut. Because we preach the gospel in fullness. In fullness, in context. We're taught here to die to ourselves. You better have a gut, man. If you don't have a gut, you're not going to make it in this church. You won't make it. You're taught it has nothing to do with feelings, but all kingdom. He said to me, you got to fight through it, buddy. The most intense time of my life, he said, you got to fight through it, man. Right now in Thessalonica, in the church at Thessalonica, they're going through it. Paul says, hey, you're going through it? That's fine. Walk worthy of the kingdom of God by the which you were called. Walk worthy of it. Mimic the word of God. It's not the word of man. Mimic, imitate the word of God. I know you're going through it. He said, mimic, imitate the word of God. I know you're going through it. Mimic it. Imitate it, regardless of what you're going through. That's the counsel of Paul to the church at Thessalonica. He said, God's called you into his very own kingdom and glory. He has called you into his very own kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of it. How? By receiving the word of God, by mimicking the word of God, by doing it, regardless of what you go through, do the word of God. That's the main thrust of this masterpiece. Chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. Listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. I'm going to teach you something. Verse 27 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, he said, I charge you. Listen what he said. This is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, I charge thee by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm charging you. By the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said. That this epistle be read to all the holy brethren, listen to this now. I charge you, church, I charge you that this epistle be read. Now, I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ, this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord be with you. Listen carefully now. Paul says, verse 27, I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Verse 27, verse 28, the grace of God be with you. He gave him a charge. Read this letter to the church. Read this epistle to the church. Then he said, may the grace of God be with you. First he said, I charge you, I'm commanding you, read this epistle to all the holy brethren. Read this epistle to all the holy brethren. Then he said, the grace of God be with you. In context, what I'm sharing with you, he said, I charge you, read this epistle. I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that you read this epistle to all the holy brethren. I charge you, read this epistle to all the holy brethren. The grace of God be with you. In the context of those two verses, read the epistle. The next verse, the grace of God be with you. My friends, in the context of those two verses, read the epistle. Next verse, the grace of God be with you. What was the grace of God that he was talking about in the context of this? Where was that grace of God at? I charge you, read this epistle to all the holy brethren. The next verse says, the grace of God be with you. What are you talking about? The grace of God be with you. What grace of God? What was the epistle? This epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Grace of God be with you. What was in the epistle? Per context. Read this epistle. The grace of God be with you. The grace of God was the epistle. The writings, chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was the grace of God. He said, you read this epistle to all the holy brethren. Grace be with you. As you read this epistle, the grace of God is going to be preached to the body of Christ. And if they hear this epistle, and if they obey this epistle, the grace of God will be with them. Are you with me? The epistle was the grace of God. If you read it and you do it, the grace of God will be with you. If you don't read it, well, guess what's not going to be with you? Well, God's grace will take me. Yes, if you hear the epistle and you do it, God's grace will be with you. So I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of God be with you. The grace of God was the epistle. All the instruction from chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 was the grace of God. If you hear this epistle, you hear it and you do it, the grace of God will be with you. Are you with me? A couple of verses prior, we're going to start from 5 to 1. I won't keep you long. He said, read this epistle. Read it. I charge you. Because the grace of God is the epistle. The writings of Paul were God's grace to the body of Christ. He said a couple of verses prior, he said, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, be thankful. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What did I say the epistle was? It was what? God's what? God's grace. The epistle is God's grace. Hear the epistle. Do the epistle. God's grace will be with you. A couple of verses prior. Delma, Shiny, Vladdy, Bronk, Big Dog, Miss Candy. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What would that be there? That instruction is part of the letter. It's what? Grace. Notice. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But it dawned on me. He gives the instruction, Pastor Bronk, on how to rejoice always. He's not, you rejoice always by praying without ceasing. You rejoice always by always giving thanks for all things. This is the will of God for you in Christ. You just can't rejoice always without praying without ceasing. You won't rejoice always. You won't always rejoice if you don't know how to give thanks for God for everything that you go through. That is the grace of God. Rejoice always. Okay, I rejoice. Not if you pray without ceasing, you won't. If you don't give thanks to God for His word, you won't rejoice. You'll be miserable. You'll never mimic the word of God. You'll never be imitators of the word of God. Why? Because you're not rejoicing. You're not rejoicing because you're not praying without ceasing. You're not rejoicing because you're not giving God thanks for everything. And indeed, you're not hearing the epistle. You're not doing the epistle. You're not walking in God's grace. But if I rejoice always, there's a default. If I pray without ceasing, in all that I go through, if I give God thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that my default is I will rejoice. But you will not rejoice. You'll be in slumber. You'll be in agony. You'll be in defeat if you don't pray without ceasing. If you don't give thanks always, you will not rejoice. But there's a default. You pray without ceasing. In all that you go through, you give Him thanks and you will rejoice by default. That, my friends, is the grace of God that will be with you. Are you with me? That's why He said, I charge you, read this epistle to all the holy brethren. Grace be with you. Read it. Do it. Grace will consume you to the end. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If I pray without ceasing, Big Dog, in my heart full of thanks, I will default to always rejoicing. That, my friends, is the grace of God. Pastor Bronk, I can't take it, Big Dog. I can't take it, man. Hard time, Pastor Bronk. I'm going through it, man. He says to me, fight through it, buddy. He nailed it. That's what Paul's telling the church in Thessalonica here. Pray without ceasing. In everything, Rex, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. dialysis. My friend Delma's gone through dialysis. It wears you out, man. Some of you might say, well, don't confess that. That's an ungodly. It wears you out. I don't care what you say. I don't confess it. Jesus slept in a boat. He was tired. I get tired after dialysis. When I first started with dialysis, I would get exhausted. I thought I was going to die. Forgive my French, it kicks your butt. You can't say that in church. Well, I just did. I'm sorry. There's times these last 12 years I thought I was going to die. That would be dogmatic. Something Pastor Dave said years ago stuck with me. He said, I've never missed a church service because of sickness. I have, but I've gotten so much better. There's times where I felt I was going to croak. I said, well, if I'm going to croak, let me croak in my home church hearing the gospel. If I'm going to die, let me die hearing truth. Let me go home in my church. I ain't going home. I believe the gospel. I'm going to walk in his grace because I'm going to hear the epistles and I'm going to strive to do them. Why? To default into rejoicing. And if I default into rejoicing, I will walk in God's grace. Are you with me? So chapter 1 of Thessalonians, Paul, basically, the thrust of the book says, you receive the word of God in much affliction. He said, no, you became followers in us and of the Lord. You see what he said? Paul tells the church, you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. Remember that word? With joy of the Holy Ghost. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They were going through it, man. I've done some research on the church at Thessalonica. It was in the northern part of Greece. Very perverted town. Temple prostitution, idol worship. They were turning from that filth, man. They were turning from it. Temple prostitution. He said, but you turned to God from serving idols. Another tangent. They weren't being egotistical. They weren't self-serving, self-seeking. They were living the gospel. The whole thrust of the book was to Christians that were living the Word of God. They were being warriors. I say this on a side note. Pastor Bronk is the best friend that I do not hang around. I'm privy to him. We talk. That man with his wife is a warrior. He is a warrior. It's an honor to be his associate. It is an honor to stand with him preaching the gospel. My pastor and his wife, he is a warrior. He's taught me by a lot about what he hasn't said. He's taught me by what he said and by what he hasn't said. He is a warrior. And I will be his sidekick, his associate, his pet, whatever he needs from me, I will be here. But that church was going through it, man. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Remember that word, joy of the Holy Spirit. They were going through it, man. They didn't need, I need to get away, I'm going through so much stress. No. I need a bigger car, a bigger house. I need more affection from my husband. I need more affection from my wife. I need Pastor Bronk to appreciate me more. No, 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 no. They were hearing the gospel. They were obeying the gospel. And Paul was strengthening them through this rough time. The persecution that they were enduring for the word of God's sake. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now that verse would be impossible for it to be fulfilled in our lives without 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You won't receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost if you don't know how to rejoice always. Joy of the Holy Spirit and rejoicing always comes from the same Greek word. Why do Christians make it and some don't? Why? Because they don't pray without ceasing. They don't always give thanks. They give heed to a mirage. And if you give heed to a mirage, you're going to believe the mirage. Your husband's going to be your problem. Your wife's going to be the problem. Your symptom is going to be the problem. But no, 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 no. He said, rejoice always. Lord, I'm drained today. I'm drained. I'm tired. I'll just stay at home and feel better. If I'm going to stay at home miserable, teaching context, why can't I come to church and be miserable with a slight chance of getting healed at church? I'm going to be at home miserable, tossing and turning. Well, I'm going to come to church and toss and turn in the back seat. Maybe, just maybe, the power of God will come down and consume my body, man. He said, you receive the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. That is impossible to receive afflictions that go through rough times if the grace of God is not obeyed. He said, Homer, rejoice always. How, Lord, how? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You mean when I'm exhausted, Lord? Yeah. It doesn't take much energy to say, Jesus, by your stripes, my Lord, I am healed. It doesn't take much to say it again and again and again and again and again. I don't feel it. It has nothing to do with your feeling. All do with kingdom reality and his word. Rejoice always. How do I always rejoice? Pray without ceasing. In all that you go through, Homer, give thanks. How much do we give thanks to God when we're feeling that feeling in our life? Or do we stop and entertain the mirage? Lord, I praise you. I praise you. I worship you, Lord. I praise you and worship you by your stripes, Lord Jesus. By your stripes, by your grace and mercy, I've been redeemed, Lord. I've been healed. I don't feel healed, but who cares what I feel? Your word is your word. There's a default when you pray without ceasing. There's a default when in all things you give him thanks. What's the default? You will rejoice always. There's a default when you pray without ceasing. There's a default when you always give him thanks. What's the default? You will receive the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. If you do not pray without ceasing, if you do not give thanks, there will not be a default. You will not receive the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're taking the care upon you. The mirage is saturating your senses, man. And you become the lie that the mirage says that you are. He says, I know what you're going through, Paul says. I know what you're going through. Pastor Bronk tells me, you got to fight through it, buddy. You got to have a gut. He can't fight for me, man. He can pray for him, but I got to fight for myself, man. You got to have a gut if you come to this church. If you believe the gospel in context, you got to have a gut, man. And praying in the Holy Ghost gives you that gut. Paul says, I know you're going through a chapter 2. I know you're going through it. I know you are. I know you are. Funny. He knew they were going through it. But guess who else was going through it? Paul. The one going through it knew they were going through it. But the one going through it knew what it took to go through it and rejoice. So the one that was going through it was rejoicing. Telling them they were going through it, what he did to rejoice when he was going through it. So they're rejoicing as they were going through it. Are you with me? So I'll listen to a man like that. I'll listen to a man like him. I'll listen to him. I know you're going through it. But I charge you, walk worthy of the kingdom that God's called you into, his very own kingdom and glory. He has called you into his very own kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of that kingdom. In other words, you got to fight through it, buddy. Well, Lord, how do I walk worthy of your kingdom and your glory? A few verses down, chapter 2. You receive the word of God, not as it was the word of man, but as it is the word of God. You receive the word, not as it was the word of men, but the word of God. What do you mean you received it not as the word of man, but the word of God? Because you did it. You're an imitator of the word of God, even in these situations. You mimicked it. You did it. That qualifies you to walk worthy of the very own kingdom God has called you to. That, my friends, is faith. That is faith. Pray without ceasing, especially in the Holy Ghost. In all things, give thanks to God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. There is a default. And you will rejoice because grace is empowering you. Where's the grace found? Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The epistle was the grace of God. You heard the epistle. You did the epistle in hard times. Grace came and got you, man. And it snatched you right up and you walked right through it. So you receive the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Holy Spirit was You prayed without ceasing. And all that you went through, you gave thanks. Your default was you rejoiced. And when you rejoiced, when afflictions came, you endured it. You received the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is the book of Thessalonians. They're going through it. He didn't stroke them. He didn't cry with them. He wrote them an epistle of grace, of instruction. Chapter 1 through 5 was the instruction. The epistle was the instruction. The epistle was God's grace. You're going through it? Here's a letter that I'm going to give you, Homer, Rosie, Vladdy, Shiny. I'm going to give this letter. Hear this letter. Obey the content of the letter in context, and you will rejoice. And grace will sustain you. If you obey grace, grace will sustain you. Verse 3 of chapter 1. He says, we always pray for you. We don't cease praying for you. For your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. He said, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and the Father. What he's saying was, it came at you, boy. It came at you, Sarah. It came at you, Bronk. But in the sight of God, you worked faith, you labored love, and your patience was hope in Jesus Christ. You kept God's word, man. You kept it. You rejoiced in it. Why? Because you prayed without ceasing. And all that you went through, Homer, and all that you went through, Sarah, and all that you went through, Bailey, you gave him thanks. You didn't feel like it, but you gave him thanks. Father, I worship you, Lord. I worship you. My Father in heaven, holy, 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 merciful, graceful is your name. You sent your word and you healed our disease. You are the Lord. By hearing all that you go through, give him thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't have the right to complain if I don't obey chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I will live in absolute defeat. Because I didn't receive the word of God in affliction. I received the word of God. I didn't receive it. Afflictions came and they consumed me, and I kicked God's word to the curb, man. When I did it, my work of faith, labor of love, hope of patience in the Lord Jesus Christ, that equals walking worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friends. Because I mimicked the word of God, not the word of man, but the word of God. And there was a default in my life. Default was grace carried me through. I don't have an excuse for failure, man. Even in the darkest times of my life, it doesn't take much energy to sit on my bed. Father, you know what I'm going through. All I can do is default to your word. That's all I can do, Lord. I can ignore your word. I can ignore prayer. I can ignore being thankful. And the mirage will consume me. The lie, the symptom will consume me. Timothy said, trials, afflictions, I told you they were coming. I told you. In closing, then he said this. Paul said this as Timothy reported back to Paul the state of the church of Thessalonica. Timothy came back to me and he told me of your faith, that you stand fast in the Lord. How do they stand fast in the Lord? So I heard what you're going through, Paul. So I rejoice now because you're standing fast in the Lord. What were they doing to stand fast in the Lord during trials and afflictions? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Simple instruction will carry us so far. That's why Paul said, Miss Gay, that's why he said, I charge you by the Lord Jesus Christ that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Why, Paul? Why is it so important that I read this epistle to all the brethren? Why? Because if you read it to them, the grace of God will be with them. And they'll be sustained in trials and affliction. And they will walk worthy of the kingdom. They will work faith and they will labor in love. If you pray without ceasing. In all that you go through, Homer, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. They were going through it, man. They weren't at odds with each other. They didn't want attention. They weren't worried about their spouse saying or doing it. They didn't want nicer clothes. They didn't need a bigger car. They were obeying the scriptures and paying the price for obeying the scripture. That, my friends, is what we need to be asked. Let's get persecuted for obeying the gospel. Let's not be talked about for being busybodies. Let's get in Holy Ghost trouble for keeping the gospel, not for ignoring it. That's where he has me right now, my friends. That's where he has me. You are never, ever, ever my problem. You are never, ever my problem. Never. If you are my problem, I lack love and mortification. He said, you became followers of us. Paul tells the church, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They weren't moved, big dog. They must have heard Pastor Bronk in the book of Thessalonians say, you got to get tough, buddy. You got to fight through it. In a nutshell, it is a letter of Thessalonians from Paul to the body of Christ. Politics is not going to fix this nation, man. Kingdom. Don't get mad at Donald Trump, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. Don't get mad at them. Kingdom is going to fix this nation. Don't worry about the Epstein file. Don't worry about it. I pray Democrat or Republican, whoever is guilty in those files, I pray they be exposed and the law be applied to them. I don't care who they are. I pray that it all come out. Well, I'll tell you this much, 10 seconds. I object, I'm going to say this in another tangent. I object of Trump and his persona, his character. I object to how he acts as a man. I object tremendously. But my friends, I do not object that drag queens aren't teaching our children. I applaud that. He supports that. I applaud that parental rights aren't being taken away from Trenton. You got Trenton. Let's rejoice in the platform. Let's rejoice in the platform. His platform was that our rights can be taken away from us and our kids turn into transgenders. That's what he supports. I don't support him as a man, but I support the platform. He saves the lives of millions of babies. That has to amount for something, man. That has to amount. You don't want ICE to enforce when you're against Romans chapter 13. You want ICE to be abolished. You're against the ordinance of God, Romans chapter 13. If there's ICE agents that are doing illegal stuff, I pray they be caught and persecuted. Get your mind off the politician. Look at the platform, man. I'm going to end by saying this. The other side had the Epstein files for 4 years. Trust me. In there, for doing something wrong, they would have exposed him. Are you with me? They being the prior administration. If he would have been with an underage girl, they had the files. They would have exposed him. Get over it, man. Let's look at the platform. Let's get in trouble for obeying the gospel. Let's not get caught up in DEI, in the Epstein files, in Donald Trump, in Kamala Harris. Let's get our mind off that and get our mind in the Word of God. That tangent was on purpose. Let's stay away from that, man. That was an on purpose tangent, a 90 degree turn. Let's stay away. Let's not get in trouble for political debates, man. Let's get in trouble for the gospel's sake, man. Let's get in trouble because we have guts, man. Because we have guts. Because we're warriors, man. Let this word engulf us, man. Let's receive the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. The Republican Party, Democratic Party, can't fix lost souls. It can't raise the dead. It can't open my eyes or heal my kidneys. That comes by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gospel that that man right there preaches to our church every single week. I will die, live and die with the doctrine of this church. Live and die with it, man. Review and I'm done in 2 minutes. He said, I charge you, Miss Gay. I charge you. I charge you in the Lord, Miss Gay, that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of God be with you. What's the grace, Paul? The epistle. What's written in the epistle is God's grace. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 is God's grace. Read it, do it, and the grace of God will be with you. The epistle was God's grace, the instruction of kingdom. He said, Miss Gay, rejoice always, Miss Gay. How, Paul, how? Miss Gay, pray without ceasing. In everything, Miss Gay, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You pray without ceasing, Miss Gay. If your heart's thankful, there will be default in your life, Miss Gay. You will rejoice without even trying. Proof, Philippians chapter 4. He said, rejoice. Listen, the same instruction, just a different epistle. He says in chapter 5 of Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, the same exact instruction was given in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's given it in chapter 4. You can't rejoice unless you pray and your heart's full of thanksgiving for the word of God and for who God is there and in here. There has to be a habitual part of our life, man. There will be a default in your life. That, my friends, is a work of faith, labor of love, and pieces of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. You rejoice always by praying without ceasing. In all that you go through, give him thanks. If you disannul that instruction of grace, you will give yourself to a mirage. You will default into a lie. You will default into torment. Proverbs says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. Makes what glad? The heart that has anxiety is fixed by a good word. It makes it glad. Got to watch what we say, man. We got to speak kingdom, even when it hurts. A foolish man vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds him in. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. The grace to all of us, Father. Take the coal, per se. Cleanse our lips. Here I am, Lord. Take the coal. Cleanse my lips. Here I am. He who guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. He opens wide his lips will have destruction. All the ways of a fool are right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. He that has knowledge spares his words. He that has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. He that shuts his lips is considered perceptive. In other words, you shut your lips, you're discerning, you know what's going to come out of you, man. Be careful what we say, even when it hurts. That, my friends, is kingdom. And if you live in kingdom, we will see kingdom. In the words of the big dog, revival, come. Embrace us, Lord. Change our city. Change our family. Change our nation. Repentance, come to this nation, Lord. The fruit, I'm done. The fruit of the righteous, listen to this verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Listen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he who saves souls is wise. They go hand in hand. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who saves souls is wise. Our greatest testimony is to be living, walking epistles of Almighty God. People will see Christ in us. They'll feel the anointing as we walk by them. We are taught so well. I don't care. Some of you might say, but yes, I am bragging tremendously. Yes, I am bragging. Yes, I am. You darn right I'm bragging. I will gladly sit under this man for the rest of my life. Gladly. Gladly, I will be his right hand man. Whatever he needs me to do, I will do it. As long as it lines up with the word, I'm there, and he knows I'm there. We cannot be moved, man. Let's be persecuted, Delma, for the gospel's sake. Let's be talked about shiny because we're making a difference in the kingdom of God. Let's be persecuted because we receive the word of God in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. The big dog told me that day, you got to fight through it, buddy. That was 15 years ago. Big dog, I'm still fighting and I'm growing and getting stronger every day. And I have a gut. I have a gut. And so do you, because you keep coming here on Wednesdays. You got a gut also. Let's finish this thing, man. Let's finish it. Let's finish it, man. With joy of the Holy Ghost. Let's work faith. Let's labor in love. Let's have patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father. That, my friends, in a nutshell, is the book of Thessalonians. I got to end it with this. I cried out to Pastor Bronk, like the church in Thessalonica was going through a hard time. They got to Paul. Paul responds back. I was going through a hard time. I got to Pastor Bronk. Pastor Bronk responded back. When he responded to me was the way Paul responded to the church. You got to fight through it. You got to fight through it. And there's glory in the fight, Pastor Bronk. Because when the fight's over, Miss Gay, I come out that much stronger on to the next fight. So it's an honor to serve God with you. It's an honor to serve under this man and his wife. It's an absolute honor. I love you guys with all my heart. I know this was kind of firm. But Paul said, walk worthy of God's kingdom, regardless of what you go through. Proverbs says, buy the truth, Pastor Bronk. He says, and do not sell it. Also wisdom. Buy wisdom, buy the truth, and don't sell it. This is truth. It can't be put on layaway. It's ours. Let's die for the gospel's sake. Amen. Big dog.
Absolute. Fantastic. So, hallelujah. Perfect word. Perfect word. So, let's all stand. I'm listening to his word. I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm listening. It's coming back at me. I'm receiving. Stand. Keep going. Fight. Don't believe a mirage. Stand in the place that God has for us. Hallelujah. Homer, thank you so much. Praise you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. We bless your people. We give them unto you. Keep them, Lord, this night. Bring them back Sunday, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.